Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Excuse me, miss, this is the studio club, isn't
Ms.
it?
Ms., not miss.
Oh, sorry, I'll begin again. Ms., is this...
Yeah, you got it, and the name's Madge.
Thank you. Is there anybody at the front desk?
You are funny, but you're sort of cute. I like short hair for a change.
How do I reach somebody who's living here?
Well, you ask the first person who comes along, and that's me.
I'm looking for Mrs. Wakefield, Kate Wakefield.
Oh, I know Kate. Well, she's not around very much.
I know, she works downtown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Who are you?
The name is David Sloan.
Oh, I like it. You new around here?
No, I live upstate, but I happen to drop by. Okay. Look, can I phone a room, or is there a house manager?
Oh, well, I guess you don't know much about the studio club. If you mean by house manager, Mrs. Link, she doesn't sit at the front desk. She'd lose her mind.
I can understand why. What'll I do?
Well, you can wait around.
Do you know when Kate usually comes in?
How would I? One thing we don't do around here is rat on each other.
I'm glad to hear it.
You can have coffee in the shop there. I was just about to.
I don't think I can stay that long. Tell me, who lives in this place?
Some students, some not. You know, a few oldies who aren't with it but like to hang around the edge. It's open to all creeds and colors, race and politics notwithstanding. Hey, I'll bet you're old enough to do contact dancing. I'm dying to learn.
I don't think you'll have a problem, Ms. Madge.
Ms. or Madge, but not both, for heaven's sake. You know, you aren't very with it, are you?
I'm struggling. I'll leave a note for Kate.
Well, you do that. Her box number's 26. I'll tell her.
Hi, Madge.
Oh, hi, Trudy.
Hey, don't I know you?
Sure, you're...
Trudy Kiefer. And you're...
David Sloan.
Oh, sure. We met here one afternoon. Little Nancy Reed was with you.
I was with her.
I know what you mean. They come strong-minded these days, Lord love them. Hey, you're here to see Kate.
Apparently she's not in yet.
Well, she's got an appointment, David. She may be a little late.
You mean date or appointment?
Appointment. Like I said. Oh, golly, I'm glad to see you.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to see you. You know how late Kate will be?
No, but I don't think too long.
Shall I wait around?
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Honestly, I don't. But I think she'll be glad to see you.
Your guess is as good as mine.
See, why didn't you call? Say you were coming.
Oh, this was a sort of impulse. I don't get into the city very often, but I had a newspaper editor's conference, and as I was driving by, I thought I'd drop by.
I'll stay around, will you, David? I think it would do Kate good to see you.
What does that mean?
Well, she's got problems.
I'm the face from home, huh?
Now, look, don't tell her I said that, will you?
Not me. But if you think she'll be in soon, I'll wait. I've got nothing ahead but a long, dark drive.
How about a cup of coffee?
I don't dare. There's a predatory young female in there who thinks I can teach her contact dancing,
what?
Whatever that is.
Oh, David, you kill me.
Who, me?
You come in here in a tweed suit and a parka. And what is that on your hand, a skating cap?
My ears get cold.
And you take them into camp.
It's this muffler. Grandma knitted a lot of sex appeal in her. Come on, I'll buy you a coffee or a steak or anything you like in there, and you can tell me where Kate is.
Now, wait a minute, David.
Now, I know you nice girls don't rat on each other in this club.
No, for Pete's sake.
But I am kind of anxious to see her. One question.
No.
None of my business, but is she out with Tony now?
He's in Paris.
Good, because I've got a little problem for her.
Oh, that's all she needs.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing. But she's got things on her mind.
You think she could move them up to Belhaven for the weekend?
Well, you ask her, David.
Because that's where my problem is.
I think it might do her good to go up to Belhaven.
That's the second time you said that. Do her good. Is Kate all right?
Oh, sure. She's fine.
Trudy, you're a nice, friendly girl, and I like you. But as we say on the paper, tell the story and skip the mystery.
I know. Everything I think shows on my face. But all I'm going to say now is that I hope you do get Kate up to Belhaven and out of this city.
I tried that a long time ago, Trudy. Grandma's muffler didn't work.
Come on, David. We're both hungry. I'll listen to your problem.
Just maybe I'll tell you. Would you believe it's little Nancy Reed?
You're very prompt.
I haven't much time, Stephen.
My dear girl, I've made exactly 4 engagements to meet you. In our entire acquaintance, you always begin the same
way.
Well,
I'm not here by choice.
Oh, come. I didn't drag you to this pizza parlor. I just like it myself. But it's not a place where our friends are likely to see us. I've taken that booth there.
I don't need to sit down. I've brought the letter.
Good. Oh, that's an intelligent girl. Now, as soon as we're seated, you can tell me about it.
Stephen!
Come, my dear. People are looking at us. Now, would you care to face this way or the other?
No, this is all right.
Splendid. I won't offer you any of the fare, but the coffee's good and the pastry isn't bad to look at. Oh, boy, 2 coffees, please, and 2 pastries.
Yes, sir.
Someday, Kate, if you continue to cooperate, I'll take you to the best restaurant the city has to offer. Once I was known as an excellent host. Well, come, my dear. You must look as if you're enjoying yourself.
I'm not, Stephen, and I won't pretend. Look, you've asked me for a letter. I've brought it. The rest of this is very unpleasant.
Coffee, senor and senorina, and your pastry.
Thank you. Here you are. And keep the change.
Gracias, senor.
Now, we won't be disturbed again. Let me have the letter.
Here.
Ah, as I thought. Addressed to me. Tom promised it and he delivered. That's a good man. By the way, where'd you find it?
Stephen, I told you it was among his papers at Gull Island.
What were those papers?
Just old sailing charts, nothing important.
Oh, someday I'd like to see them.
They were Tom's. I have no intention of turning anything else over to you.
We shall see. You delayed in the letter long enough.
I told you there was no letter in Bellhaven, and there wasn't. If I hadn't looked in the bottom of an old sea chest of Tom's, I wouldn't have found this.
You know, I should be mad with curiosity, but now I have it in my hand. I almost enjoy savoring it like a man about to uncork the last bottle of Napoleon brandy. Oh, my dear, I've waited a long time for this.
I'd like to leave now.
No, not quite.
Stephen, you can't keep me.
Not without a scene, but I'm quite willing to let you create one. Kate, I've waited a long time for this moment. All those months in prison, I dreamed of getting this letter in my hands. It will mean my comeback. The end of purgatory. The reappearance of Stephen Wolfe as the world once knew him. Oh, so you did want your coffee after all.
Stephen, I'm ready to leave.
Really, Kate, you must learn to be more comfortable with me. In the months ahead, I will need your cooperation. I may even need those sailing charts.
I think you'd better read Tom's letter.
We'll read it together. My dear Stephen, I owe you a great deal. Your late husband, Kate, was one man who remembered what Stephen Wolfe did for him. I told you about my business in Jamaica and what there was there for you. So it was Jamaica. That helps. And let's see now. But the best thing I can do for you now is not to involve you in my mistakes. What the hell does he mean by that? The information you want could only bring you where it has brought me. I ask one more favor. Protect Kate. She will need it. This is a fraud, Kate.
It's all I found. There was nothing else.
Tom promised me. He hid a fortune in drugs somewhere down there. And he said it would be mine. You know where it is.
I know nothing about
it. You know. And you're going to tell me.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Joan Shea as Trudy, and Bernie Grant as Stephen. Also appearing were Nat Polan, Nancy Pinkerton, Terry Keane, and Mason Adams. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LeWorth. Music supervisor, John Anthony. And brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
My dear listeners, I must own to you that today my mind is not properly fixed upon Vanity Fair. An author's private life must sometimes intrude upon his writing, and so it is with me, William Makepeace Thackeray. My dear wife is far from well. I should be at her side rather than here. So do not think it an irksome task, only that I should be elsewhere. Now, yesterday's chapter recounted how Becky Sharp made bad matters worse by a tangle of lies. Now, picture to yourself our little Sharp weeping alone in her room. Gentle, ladylike tears? Hardly.
Oh, Johnny, what is it? What's happening? You were so happy.
Gone. Oh, gone.
Miss Crawley, she found out you married Mr. Rawdon.
No.
Mr. Rawdon's gone to war.
No.
Well, then what? What? Will you please, for goodness sake, tell me so I can help?
No one can help. Why? Did I ever fall in love? I knew it would ruin everything I planned all my life, and now it has.
What's ruined?
Oh, what? I could have had £400,000 a year.
Oh, you smashed your little
thought. I could have had a box at the opera.
Your candle holder.
He presented a gourd.
Maybe you stuck it.
I could have been my lady.
Oh,
breaking
everything in the room.
I could have let that old man wither. I was.
Look, clean out of your
head. You let go of me.
Oh, not yet, you go. You've gone all queer. Now, stop.
You dare shake me?
Well, I'll shake you till whatever needs to get out is shook.
You're right. I am out of my senses.
Well, it's better. It's better now. Now, just you lay down there, Miss Becky, and rest quiet.
Oh, child. Oh, you don't know. You don't know.
Well, all I know is you ain't Miss Becky. What, for mercy's sake, have you been talking about? What's got you like this?
What I did last night and shouldn't have done.
Married Captain Rawdon? You're sorry you done it?
And what happened this morning I never dreamed could happen.
Well, whatever did happen?
Sir Pitt happened.
Oh, Lord, then. He found out you married?
Yes.
Well, how could he? No one knowed it but you and me and Mr. Rawdon and the Reverend Gentleman.
I told him myself.
What? You told him? It was a secret. What were you about, Miss Becky? Now what'll happen?
It happened. All because I fell in love. $40,000 a year. Gone all. Gone.
Now, look, Miss Becky, Would you try, please? Could you try hard to tell me straight?
I have tried.
It don't make a word of sense what you say. $40,000 a year in Opry Box, presented at court, telling your secret, wishing you didn't love Captain Rawdon. Don't you love him no more?
I do. But how I wish I didn't and never had him.
Shame after last night.
Oh, it was a lovely night.
But it ain't a lovely morning, and I want to know why. Now, you tell me this minute.
But I can hardly say it. I don't want to say it or believe it. Sir Pitt asked me to be Lady Crawley.
Lady Crawley?
And now I can't.
You'd have done it? You'd have married that old man?
What have I wanted all my life? What have I never had? Money, position, accepted by society. Of course I'd have done it.
Well, oh, never. Sorry you married a fine young man. Wanting to marry an old sod of a man so you could sit in an Opry box and be called milady. Oh, I am ashamed of you, Miss Becky Sharp. No, ashamed of Mistress Rawdon Crawley.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Oh, Giles, try to understand. All I'm saying is what might have been. Sir Pitt's money, his title, his position would have been if I hadn't fallen in love.
But you'll have Miss Crawley's money. One day you and Mr. Rawdon will.
Oh, I'm afraid that's ruined too. Have you forgot I confessed to Sir Pitt I'm married?
Oh, I did forget.
Oh, not to Rawdon. I didn't tell him that. He thinks I married that ridiculous Gordy, who doesn't even exist.
Well, praise God, 'tis what he thinks. But why ever did you tell him at all, Miss Becky? You'd only to say no when he asked you to marry him.
I think I told him because it was all so new.
New?
Yes.
What was new?
My marriage, new, and I was happy all morning, Rawdon's name in my heart, and when Sir Pitt said marriage, I wasn't thinking, I was feeling, I was proud and wanted to say it, and I did. I'm already married. Oh, the moment I said it, I could have bit off my tongue.
Well, you did bite it and not say 'twas Mr. Rawdon. Be thankful for that.
Oh, I am. But how long will Sir Pitt keep silent and the whole truth have to come out? He promised not to tell Miss Crawley I'm married, but he'll go back to the hall and think terrible thoughts of me. Sit with his bottle of gin, rum, or brandy, or all three, and dear knows what he'll do. Only I do know. Go straight to her, if only to get me back to Queen's Crawley. You see, he thinks Gordy's left me, and Miss Crawley thinks I refuse Sir Pitt because I want to marry Gordy.
Oh, it gets worse and worse, don't it?
Oh, you don't know by half. She's all romantic about Gordy. She's to give me a dowry so he'll come back and marry me.
You said yes to that?
Well, not yes, but not no. I said there was a secret I couldn't tell her yet. She kept calling me her dear daughter, and I begged her to love me always. And she said she would, but will she? All the lies, all of it, all the... Oh, there's one good thing. Almost I forgot.
I surely would be pleased to hear one good thing in all the bad.
Yeah, well, she said I'd make a fine Lady Crawley. She wished I'd marry Sir Pitt, do you see? She'd not be ashamed her brother married a governess. Does that mean when she finds out that I've married her nephew... Oh, no, if only I hadn't married him last night. If only I'd waited.
so's you could wed Sir Pitt.
Oh, no, 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 no. Before ever I loved Rawdon, I could have, but loving him, I couldn't. You see, love spoils everything.
Well, last night you said it made everything beautiful.
Oh, yes, so beautiful. I did what I oughtn't have done. I told Rawdon and told him we shouldn't marry in secret. I said and said it was dangerous folly, might undo all we hoped for Miss Crawley. Would he listen? No. He admitted always I'd known what's best for us, but this time he knew best. If I loved him, I'd marry him. Over and over and over, if I loved him. So I did what he asked. I gave him me for Christmas. Now, let's see if he knows best what we're to do. We've got to decide before anything worse I will marry a Giles. Where is he?
Oh, he was to come this morning by 10.
Yeah, well, he's gone. Well, oh, it's 11:30. Where, please, is my new husband?
Well, it does seem queer, Miss Becky.
Oh, my, has he left me because I've no dowry? Did he love me last night and jilt me this morning?
Oh, miss.
Oh, everything else has gone wrong. Why not this, too?
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, dear, 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 dear me, bless me soul. This is not the Becky Sharp I know, or you know, my dear listeners, or I should say ever want to know. And where, pray, is that new husband? Tomorrow, I promise, we shall find out. Your most devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Author Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Busy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Baxter just went out to lunch. You just missed him.
Oh, was he alone?
No, he went out with Mr. Bartram. But I don't think there's too much business involved if you wanted to join them. I know they're lunching at the Green Dragon.
No, I had a few errands in town. I thought I'd just stop up, and if he were free, I'd have lunch with him. You coming down with another cold, Miss Birkin?
No.
How's your fiancé?
He's fine, I guess.
Guess? Oh, now, Miss Perkins, you haven't had a lover's quarrel.
I don't know what you'd call it. We're certainly having an argument anyway. Oh, I guess it's silly since we won't be married for a year or more, but Edgar refuses to wear a wedding ring.
Why?
I don't know. I want to have a double ring ceremony, and he just refuses. He doesn't think men should wear wedding rings.
Why, my husband has always worn one.
That's what I told Edgar. I said Mr. Baxter wears a wedding ring.
And I suppose he said he didn't care what Mr. Baxter said.
Well, yes. Words to that effect.
Oh, dear, well, maybe he'll change his mind.
No, I think somebody has to change his mind for him, and I don't seem to be able to do it. I thought maybe sometime Mr. Baxter might have a little talk with Edgar. Sometime when we're out for a drive and just drop in, you know?
Oh, sure. I don't know how persuasive Bob would be. But I know he's never minded wearing a wedding ring, for goodness sakes. He could talk to Edgar anyway.
That's what I thought.
Well, sometime when you drive out to the country.
We're taking a drive tonight.
Tonight? Oh, well, we're not doing anything. Stop by.
You're sure it's all right?
Oh, of course. We'll expect you tonight, Miss Perkins, and stop worrying. I'm sure everything's going to turn out just fine.
Peg?
Yes, Aunt Maggie?
Are you just going to sit here and read the paper?
Why, do you want it?
No. But Bob's making an awful mess in the kitchen.
He said he was going to put a new washer on the faucet, finally. And then he was going to fix the kitchen shelf and glue the loose rung in the dining room chair.
And you told me when he got home this afternoon that Miss Perkins and Mr. Mooley were dropping in.
Completely forgot. It went right out of my head. Yes. Thanks for reminding me. Bob? Dear, excuse me, Aunt Maggie. I want to see what he's doing. Bob? Dear. Bob.
Wrong on this chair is not going to stay glued. I need some better glue.
I forgot to tell you, Miss Perkins and her fiancé are dropping in.
Tonight?
Yes.
Well, I got about 10 things I wanted to get done tonight.
Well, I know, but there's...
You've been saying I never get at these things. Now when I do, you ask people over?
I didn't know you were picking tonight to do these odd jobs. And they are going to stay long anyhow. Miss Perkins is having a bit of a tiff with Edgar because when they get married, he doesn't want to wear a wedding ring.
Hand me that piece of cord. We don't want to wrap it around here.
Oh,
if you can hang on to the chair a bit. Now, hold it right there.
Miss Perkins wants you to say something to Edgar.
About what?
Well, try to persuade him, you know. To
do what?
Well, agree to wear a wedding ring when they get married. I just told you. Miss Perkins thought that you might, you know, really... Where's your wedding ring?
Will you please hold that chair? Now, hold it steady.
Where's your wedding ring?
I don't know. It's upstairs on the bureau, I guess. Now, hold the chair.
I'm holding it. For heaven's sake, get your ring and put it on before they get here. Why did you take it off?
Hand me the scissors.
It will certainly look
very... The scissors right there.
Oh, right here. You can hardly persuade...
Okay, now cut the string right
there. You can hardly persuade Edgar to wear a wedding ring if you're not setting a very good example.
Well, I'm not going to try and persuade Edgar Mooley to do anything. For Pete's sake, what he does is his business, not mine. You always get me involved in things like this.
Well, it's no big deal. At least we won't make it seem that way.
All right, now you can let go of the chair. I want to set it down.
We'll bring up the subject, and you just casually tell how much it's meant to you, you know?
How much is what meant to me?
Wearing a wedding ring, honey. What's the matter with you?
I don't know what you mean, what it's meant to me. As I recall, lo, these many long years ago, we had one terrific fight about it ourselves. You're the one who wanted me to wear one.
I didn't make any fuss about it.
Are you kidding?
You know, Tommy, you never wanted to wear a wedding ring?
Well,
is that why you aren't wearing it now?
Look, please.
Why aren't you wearing it? When did you take it off? Why did you take it off? I'd like an answer.
All right. I took it off because I don't want to wear it anymore.
Well,
your guests are here. I think you better keep your voices down.
They're here. I didn't hear the doorbell.
Well, I saw them drive up, and then I just let them in.
Well, entertain them, Aunt Maggie, for a few minutes.
Entertain them? With what?
Well, tell them what you got for Christmas. I don't care. Bob, you and I will sneak up the back way so you can put on your wedding ring.
Now, listen, I have a right to my own opinion, as does Edgar. Now, do you grant men that right?
I do, indeed I do. But if you want me to keep on wearing my wedding ring, then you better listen to my opinion, too.
Well, you two better settle this thing and fast upstairs. In the meantime, I'll entertain the guests with what I got for Christmas, I guess.
Robert Ellis Baxter, you will just explain to me what you meant when you said you did not want to wear your wedding ring anymore.
Will you stop making such a big production out of this?
Close the bedroom door if you're going to shout.
Oh, I'm not shouting.
Close it anyway. Here, I've asked Miss Perkins to drop in so you could tell Edgar Mooley how much wearing a wedding ring has meant to you. And apparently, far from meaning anything, you've just hated it. All these years.
I have not hated it.
Don't you realize what it means to a wife? It's just as your mother said. Your mother, not mine. She said, whenever you see a man wearing a wedding ring, you always think, well, There's a man who loves his wife so much he wants the whole world to know it.
Okay, and as Dave Whitney said, when you see a guy wearing a wedding ring, you think, boy, there's a hand-picked husband.
Oh, that's nice. That's what you think? Dave Whitney, that playboy. He's like men who take their wedding rings off before they go on a business trip. Do you?
No, for Pete's sake.
Well, then why, after all these years, don't you want to wear one?
Okay, I'll tell you. It's, not the thing to do these days.
Some of the younger men at the office have been ribbing you, is that it? Well, I see it is. You're worried about being old-fashioned or worried about getting older? You want to be in the current style, the modern fashion?
Honey, I love you. You know that. Now, look, the truth is, I just happened to take the ring off because I was mixing paint for the back pantry, which you asked me to paint. I did not intend to leave my wedding ring off, but since you brought up the subject, I just want to give you my views on it. Now, come on, let's go downstairs. We have some guests.
Well, there's no point going downstairs if you're not wearing your wedding ring.
I'm putting it on, see?
Oh.
Now, come on, let's go down.
I don't see that we've really settled anything. You're hardly in any mood to be persuading Edgar Mooley to wear a wedding ring.
Honey, what he does is his business, not mine. Now, come on.
Well, come in.
I sort of run out of things to entertain them. I didn't get that much for Christmas.
Oh, Emma. We're coming right down. Dear, can't you, you know, say something positive to Edgar to sort of help Miss Perkins?
I'll try. Come on. Boy, this hall needs painting, too.
Yeah, I know it does. Never mind that now, though. Go ahead, Emma.
I think they heard you.
Well, I'll do what I can.
Don't be all right.
Well, hello, Miss Perkins. Miss
Mooley. Hello, Miss Perkins.
I'm afraid we dropped in at the wrong time.
No, I think you dropped in at the right time. There's no sense beating about the bush, as the saying goes. I understand you don't want to wear a wedding ring when you get married, Mr. Mooley.
Oh, call me Ed.
Okay, Ed.
Aunt Maggie and Miss Perkins, why don't we go get some coffee and cake?
No. You ladies stay right here. Let's go in the den. I think we better get this settled.
Oh, well, there's nothing to settle as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Baxter.
Bob.
Yeah, well, Bob. Anyhow, I feel that for a man to wear a wedding ring, well, it's as though a woman is, well, branding him.
Branding him? Mm. Make marriage sound like some sort of a rodeo.
Rodeo? I always thought that was pronounced rodeo.
Maggie, it's hardly the point now.
The point is that a girl likes to know whether a man is married or not. If a man asks you out to dinner, you can't say, well, are you married? But if she sees a ring, then she knows.
Right.
I've changed my mind. You ladies go and get us some coffee and cake. I want to talk to Anne.
Oh, well, all right. Come on, Miss Birkin. Hey, Maggie, let's get some coffee and cake.
Now, don't try to persuade me, Mr. Baxter. Bob, my mind is quite made up. All this talk about women's lib. What about men's lib? I am a person. I am an individual. I am me. And I have a right to express my opinions, my ideas, my thoughts, my philosophy. And I just don't feel that I should be influenced by a feminine attitude.
Now, Mr. Mooley, Ed, forget it.
What?
You love Miss Perkins?
Well, yes. Certainly, passionately, if I may say so.
You may say so. Are you planning to play around?
Yeah, play around? Certainly not.
Then wear a wedding ring. It'll make her happy, and I'll tell you something, it'll make you happy, too. I speak from experience.
Yeah, well, aren't I giving in to her then?
Yes, you're giving in, but you're also getting back. By wearing a wedding ring, you get love, comradeship, understanding, sympathy.
Yes.
Also, she'll kill you if you don't.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Modern Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
I just had lunch with Emily.
Oh, is she all right, Angela?
Yes, and Marcia, I'm so glad she's finally seeing Dr. Szabo.
What did you say?
Emily has an appointment with Dr. Szabo this afternoon. Well, you made it for her, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. It's just I didn't know it was going to be so soon.
Well, it's taken an awfully long time, but... Well, I guess it's all right. After all, Emily has had her hands full with taking care of Jennifer.
Yes, yes, of course.
And I know Dr. Szabo must be terribly busy, but don't you think he could have responded a little faster?
Ah, I suppose so.
When you realize how most people worry about themselves, they really are entitled to a quick response from the medical profession.
Yes, an early diagnosis is very important.
Well, you've always said people can only be hurt by what they don't know, not what they know.
Yes, Angela, come in.
Hello, Dr. Foster.
Oh, hello, Trish. Is there...
Excuse me, Dr. Angela. Could you take on the desk for a while?
Oh, of course, Trish.
My relief isn't back yet, and I have a dental appointment.
Oh, no problem. Dr. Foster and I were finished anyway. I'll see you later, Marge.
Yes, Angela.
Emily will probably call, I guess.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, I should have suspected Emily would finally do something. Hello, operator. This is Dr. Foster. Will you get me Dr. Szabo? Dr. Victor Szabo? Yes, yes, you have the number. Right, thank you. Oh, I wonder where Jason is. He's got to know about this. Hello?
Hello, Marsh.
Oh, Victor, I'm so glad I got you.
I was just about to call you.
Yes, I can imagine what it is.
Mrs. Jason Carter has an appointment with me this afternoon.
Victor, how did she get it?
My nurse made it. I wasn't in, and when I realized she was your patient, I tried to call her back, but she must have been out.
Oh, I see. What time is the appointment?
And if she's on time, she'll be here in 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
Well, I gather from that she hasn't been told what her condition is.
You gather right, Victor.
Hmm. Her husband is a doctor, too.
Yes, yes, I know. There's no excuse, Victor, but you see, there really is a reason.
Honestly, her little girl was almost drowned, and we couldn't tell her at that point.
Yes, 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 I know. So what do you want me to do?
Well, look, let me handle it, will you? Tell her you sent her records and report to me. Vic, I'm awfully sorry to put you in the middle of this.
Yes, I understand. It's a very difficult thing to do.
I think you'll realize that even more when you see her.
Will you tell her right away?
Her husband will, tonight.
And you will bring him up to date on this.
Yes, Vic, and thank you. Oh, wait a minute, one more thing. Look, this is regrettable, but I believe Mrs. Carter thinks that you've been stalling about her diagnosis, and that's why she's probably contacted you directly.
I'm not surprised, Marsh. It's happened before, don't worry.
No, thanks, Vic, thanks again. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Miss Pauling, will you please bring Mrs. Carter's records in? Yes, yes, I know she's not a patient. Yes, it's in the consulting file. All right, thank you. Oh, got to figure out some procedure to keep Miss Pauling from making appointments like that.
Oh, here you are, Dr. Szabo. Mrs. Carter's file.
Miss Pauling, don't you know we don't accept appointments directly from patients we've consulted on?
But, doctor, Mrs. Carter is Mrs. Jason Carter, Dr. Carter's wife.
Yes, 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 of course. I see. Well, all right.
I am sorry.
It's all right, Miss Pauling. Yes. Oh, yes, I remember now. Yes, Codoma in the occipital area. Inoperable. Prognosis negative. Time. Well, any time. Yes? All right, send Mrs. Carter in.
Julie, I haven't tapped it in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old chick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Come in, Mrs. Carter.
How do you do, Dr. Szabo?
Won't you sit down, please?
I want you to know that I know I stepped out of line when I made this appointment.
Oh, you know that?
Well, a doctor's wife learns some things.
I see. Well, you make my job a little easier, then.
What do you mean?
I am not your doctor, Mrs. Carter. All the information on your case, any report I make, goes directly to Dr. Foster.
I see. Then you're telling me I have to get the information from Dr. Foster.
That's right, Mrs. Carter.
There's nothing you can tell me.
No, I'm sorry. There's nothing.
Well, I'm sorry I wasted your time then, Doctor.
Oh, please don't feel that way, Mrs. Carter. After all, you spent some time, too.
Yes, and I did learn something.
Oh, you did?
Yes. If the news about me had been good, you'd probably have felt free to tell me.
Well, not necessarily.
Dr. Szabo, have you ever known of an instance when you've held back good news?
Well, in medicine, there are different degrees of so-called good news or even bad news, for that matter.
Yes, I shouldn't press you. One thing.
If I can.
How long has Dr. Foster had your answer or report?
I really don't know, Mrs. Carter. He'll be able to tell you that.
Yes, but will he?
Well, he's your doctor, and you must trust him.
That's something that has to go both ways, Doctor.
Yes.
Well, thank you for... Well, for seeing me.
Well, you're quite welcome, Mrs. Carter.
Yes, nurse, please keep trying to find Dr. Carter. It's very important that I see him. Right, thank you. Come in.
Mark, do you know where Jason is?
No, Angela. Are you trying to find him?
Yes, I was wondering if he'd heard from Emily.
Well, I doubt it. She's still at Dr. Szabo's.
Oh, I see. Well, I thought I'd take Jennifer home for the night.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes, I thought so. Her grandfather dropped her off here since there was no one at home. She's down on the children's floor.
Angela, why don't you take her to the show at the Goodman Theater? They're doing their children's holiday show, and this is the last night, I think.
Well, that's a good idea, Marsh, but she's had an awfully full day. The zoo and lunch with her grandfather. I think she should have a quiet evening. And I'm sure tickets are scarce.
Well, I could get them for you. I know one of the directors.
Oh, well, thanks anyway. She really should rest. After all, even if she seems to have made a full recovery from the accident, there's no sense in her overdoing it.
Yes. Yes, of course, you're right.
Marsh, is there anything the matter?
No, why?
You seem a little worried. You didn't hear anything from Szabo, did you?
No, nothing.
I wonder what it is. Don't you have any idea at all, Marsh? Even a guess?
If I'd known, I wouldn't have had to call in Zabo.
Well, it's going to be a load off both Jason and Emily. You know, I think he's been as worried about this as Emily has.
I'm sure he has been.
It's funny. He didn't seem to know about her appointment.
Oh? How do you know he didn't?
Well, when I saw him this morning, he didn't say anything about it.
Oh, well, it probably just slipped his mind.
You really think that?
But now, look, Angela, what are you worrying about? You've been after me and Jason about Dr. Zabo, and now that Emily is seeing him, you're still not satisfied.
I know. I'm sorry, Marsh. It's just that it all happened so quickly. After weeks of waiting, and now suddenly Emily's seeing him.
Yeah.
Well, I have to pick up Jennifer now. Emily will probably call you when she's finished with Zabo, so I'll call you later, all right?
Sure. Sure, Angela.
It's been a long wait, hasn't it?
Yes, yes, it has.
And, thanks for everything, Marsh.
That's all right, Angela. If Emily calls me... Millie, I'm leaving for the day, so I won't be taking any calls. Yes, I'll check with you later.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.